Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 56. And I see your bulletin doesn't list a message, but there is a message. So you won't be out of church early. This is called Mary's Song. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then return to her home. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you especially this morning for Mary's song. And Lord, I pray that the message that is brought forth from her song is your message. And I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive that message as you have it for each of our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. This week has been a week of music for me, as well as for many others who are here and many others in our community. It began last weekend with our children's musical here at Wesley, which was about how a community of faith working to care for the needy can have impact on one individual's life and bringing them to know the real reason that we celebrate Christmas. Then last Sunday night at Christ Church, 4 children shared in word and song the meaning of the colors of Christmas. Tuesday night was another night, a beautiful night of music for this season. And I have to say, one of the songs may have conveyed the real feelings of the stress that we put on ourselves at this season when December 26th rolls around. And then Friday and Saturday night, there was the live nativity at Christ Church that told the story of Jesus' birth through word and song. And each and every Sunday, as well as this morning, we are graced with music by our choir. But the song we heard this morning in Scripture is a different kind of song. We heard Mary's song. Though Mary never specifically mentions the birth that would come months later, we know that it is a Christmas song because it celebrates God's goodness and God's faithfulness. It celebrates what the Christmas event did to turn our world on its ear, finally setting it aright. Mary had faith. She had faith in what God was doing as young as she was, and in the situation she was in, she trusted him. She trusted that she was part of something bigger than herself, that she was part of this plan that God had for the world of extending mercy and grace and justice in a way that the world had never seen. child being conceived and born of a virgin. A child born in a stable and laid in a manger. A child whose first visitors were stinky, smelly shepherds who came in from the fields from tending their sheep. The announcement of the birth of this child as it is proclaimed by angels. A visit by the wise men who come bearing gifts. And a child who would be raised by a carpenter. And yet Mary begins her song with, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." This song is often referred to as the Magnificat. How many of you have ever heard that or have ever seen the Magnificat? Mary proclaims joy. She proclaims joy despite the circumstances she finds herself in. A young, unmarried woman who is pregnant. She finds joy despite the world that she is living in. We are living in a world today where every time you turn on the news, you see hatred being lived out. We see our own government who seems to be at battle with one another. We see a world that is in distress. Do we look into each day and find the joy that is there? See, Mary's joy doesn't ignore the reality of her situation. It doesn't ignore the fact that she's unmarried. It doesn't ignore the fact that she's pregnant and is engaged to a man who knows that that pregnancy did not come from him. She doesn't ignore the fact that she doesn't know the reality of her future. Her joy doesn't come from the reality of the hardship of what she is going to have to face from society. From the hardship of the world that she lives in. Instead, she rejoices. She rejoices in the faithfulness of God in the past, the power of God in the present, and the promise of God for the future. Mary's song begins with praise for what God has already done in her life. But it doesn't stop there. Fred Craddock, who is a minister and a preacher, a minister and a professor of preaching says, and I quote this about Mary's song, quote, "What God has done for Mary anticipates and models what God will do for the poor, the powerless, and the oppressed of the world. The triumph of God's purposes for all people everywhere." End of quote. See, Mary's faith allowed her to be open to God's plan, even though she didn't know what that plan was. She believed in his promise, and she was willing to allow God to use her in his plan. Mary's faith allowed her to go into the future unafraid and unknowing. A faith that has given voice to the promises that she saw in God's word. As she celebrated God's goodness, God's faithfulness, she put her trust in God. I pray that we have that same trust as Mary. This time of year is a time of year of music, isn't it? It's a time of year when we sing the songs of the holiday season. And we find that our voices are united together by the words that we sing as we sing together the hymns of the season. Whether it's because we're reading them written on a page of the hymnal, or whether we have them memorized. We lift our voices together. But it should be more than just uniting our voices. We should be united in our faith. We should be united in a way that our faith together celebrates the goodness and the faithfulness of a God who is willing to go wherever he is needed and do whatever it takes to set our world and to set our lives aright. As you are probably aware by now, we are using the hymn Joy to the World as our music theme through the Advent season. Although I think Joy to the World is a song to be sung all year long. I don't think it's just confined to Christmas. But this morning, we were to sing the third verse of Joy to the World, and I think it echoes very much Mary's sentiments. No more let sin or sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. We sing this song in the midst of a world where we see sins and sorrows growing, where we see thorns all around us. Now, when we think of thorns, we tend to think of plants and how it is that there are thorns on them. Maybe a holly bush at this time of year and the leaves on a holly bush and how they have little thorns on the ends of them. Or maybe a rose that as you go to pick it up, that there are thorns on its stem. But I'm talking about the thorns, that are all around us that Satan has planted. Thorns that seem to prick us and cause us to bleed. Thorns that pull us away from God. Thorns that are infesting the world around us. And there are thorny places within us and around us. But we should be able to sing songs of joy. If we know who Jesus Christ is for our lives, then our hearts should be filled with joy. And even in the midst of circumstances which may not be ideal, the joy of the Lord should be living in our hearts. Mary also proclaimed that her spirit rejoiced, and it rejoiced because she knew who she was rooted in. She knew what God had already done in her life, and she knew the goodness that God would continue to do. You and I sing songs of joy because we know that goodness of the Lord. Not only in the birth of Jesus as we are getting ready to celebrate, but in his life and in his death and in his resurrection. And more importantly, in his promise to return. So in light of the songs that we hear and we sing, in light of the hurts and the pains that we often experience, which sometimes seems to be magnified at this time of year, Christmas often brings heartache and pain in a much magnified way. So how can you and I be about that defiant joy that Mary shares with us? Not only at Christmas season, but all the time, we should be living out that joy. And we do that by, first and foremost, putting ourselves aside and allowing God's Holy Spirit to be living in us, his love to be pouring out of us. But it's to be sharing who Jesus is for the world. It's to share at this time of year why we truly celebrate Christmas. Because as we look around the world, we can see that many people think otherwise. Many people think that the reason that we are celebrating is because of a man who comes in a red suit, Santa Claus. When truly the reason we are celebrating is Jesus. And you and I have been given that responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ to share that with the world. When Jesus is Lord of our lives, when we know that joy that can only come from him, we have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to share Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask you first and foremost to begin to share that joy of Jesus in your homes, in your places of employment, places that you shop, restaurants where you eat. And you may ask, well, how do we begin to do that? It's easy. Begin with a smile of that song that's in your heart coming forth from you. Say a kind word to someone. Give a compliment to somebody. Share words of encouragement with one another. See, that's how we make Jesus known. When he is living in our lives, then we begin to share him in small ways. We begin by showing people the reality of what it means to have that love and that joy of Jesus living inside of us. And maybe, just maybe, we'll be able to plant a song of joy in the heart of another. Amen.